to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a are you singing it to him now? Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Is that your desire? To be a sanctuary for the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. In Exodus 20, Ephesians 6 and Exodus 20. Good to see some back with us. We don't want to say visitors because they've already been here before. You know, they're just a part of us, but we're glad to have them with us this morning. Glad to see each one of the visitors. I guess most people call them that, but we just call each other brother and sister in Christ everywhere we're at. So we're glad to have you with us and glad to see you now. Exodus 20. Ephesians 6. Remember now, the Lord willing, we'll be leaving part of us Thursday of this week and part Friday to go to the youth camp over at Alabama, and looking forward to the program that'll be put on and everything. It looks like it's going to be real good and everything, and we're looking forward. So if you can't go, and I'll just pray just pray for everybody that is going, that the Lord would help and direct and kind of do everything, you know, because it looks like it's going to turn out to be real good. And we appreciate the Lord and all of the work that's been done. We appreciate it. Amen. Appreciate everything that you've put into doing and everything. We appreciate that very much, and all in the Lord. So just remember that. So next Sunday will probably be a little slack on people because there'll be a lot in Alabama for the meeting there. But some of us will be back and be here. So you just remember that. Also, the Lord willing, on October the 11th, which is on a Wednesday, Brother Richard Wilson is supposed to be with us here to preach for us on that Wednesday. So remember these and just keep everything in mind. Is there any other announcements? You'll be here with us on what date? The 9th of October. Yeah, the 9th of October there'll be a brother here, Brother Nestor from the Philippines. So just remember him. Be here for that weekend. So remember these. Just pray that the Lord would bless. Now, remember that if you're going to the meetings and things, make sure you get your arrangements made, get everything set, to where you're going to meet somebody, and don't show up 2 hours late because you'll be left over here. And you'll find your own way because we always try to do the best we can, but we wind up then. And please, listen, if you're not going to these meetings and these things, let us know. Because, see, generally we're sitting at my house, Wade's house, or somewhere, waiting for you to get there, and you're the one that we're waiting on, which we could leave 2 hours early, because everybody else is there, all right? Everybody else comes, but we're waiting 2 hours, and then call, and then can't even find you, or you say, well, I decided not to go. Well, please, and we're going to get on to that today, and won't be that much, but it's going to be on respect anyway. But please, let's call and tell them if you're, let everybody know if you're coming or not coming or whatever, and all like that, and just let people know about it. Because if we drive off 5 minutes late, then you'll come along 10 minutes later and then gripe about it. Well, they're supposed to wait on me. Please do that. You don't want somebody coming to your house and then they don't ever call you and tell you they're coming. You don't know when they're coming, what's going on. you know. But we'll get on to that. It's in respect. So just remember that and pray one for another. Ephesians 6. We'll read the first six verses, then we'll go to Exodus 20. So let's pray before we read the scripture. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for all things, and we pray that you would just guide each and every one of us in your love today, and that you'd have your way with us, and that you'd speak to our hearts, that we may all, Lord, come to the place that we need to be in you. Forgive our sins and lead us, Lord, by thine understanding. And Lord, show us thy ways, that we may walk in the way and be guided by thy love. And Lord, as we read your word, now you come and you speak to us and guide each one now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this is just basically, I'm reading the first part of this. We'll probably read it for each service for three or four services, because we're going to be speaking on respect, but we'll give a title to each one. But Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." All right. Now we'll go over to, this is in the commandments, and be one of the commandments, Exodus 20 and verse 12. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I told you I want to speak on respect. I had mentioned it a few times, and you know that I wanted to bring a little series, and this will be basically, now, this will be basically family talk, you know, family talk, because we're going to get down into ourselves and our lives and our doings and our talking and beings and what we are and things like that, and it'll be just kind of like a little family talk to the church, you know, that maybe the Lord will help each one of us. But today we want to speak on respect to God. Respect to God will be the title of the message. But now, the word respect, and I know in the Bible, you know, that you don't have respect to persons, you don't do this, but I'm not going that away, see, because that has that understanding and is right. But I'm talking about respect, like that it says, as admiration for or a sense of the worth, now, or excellence of a person. Admiration, now, for as a sense of the worth, in other words, so you have an admiration for what something is. You know, the worth. Or the excellence of something or a person. All right? It means to regard. It means to honor. And see, respect is used like the results of admiration. In other words, respect comes because of the admiration you have for something. For something that's before you, the worth of it or the excellency of it or the things, you know, that... You are there, and now when I read some of this, basically the quotes is so intertwined until it's hard to do, but I want to try to just basically read, and I just why I underline some of it, what Brother Brandon would say just on a specific point, like we want to talk about respect to God, our respect for God, you know, because, you know, we should think about his worth, his honor, his glory. We should think about God in the respect that he is our creator. Yeah, even if we did not love him for anything else, right. We should love him for the fact that he brought us into the world. Because without him, we would not be here. Amen. And a great honor should be given. Now, I believe that's what went wrong, because Brother Branham, I gave you one quote in there. where Brother Branham talks about a nation that loses respect for God, said it's no longer a nation. And you can look around the world today and see that you know, the world has lost respect for God. Now, when we get down to it in a minute, it might open up some more to you what I mean of that, but they've totally went to the basis that they have no respect, no regard, no honor. It used to be, you know, it used to be that if you was a Christian, people respected you, you know, at work or places. But it's not the people's fault that they quit respecting a lot of times. You know what I mean? It's not the boss's fault that he quit respecting you when you don't live right yourself. So that's what I say. It's hard to bring, see, because you want to go that way now. All right? But I'm going to try to hold it to a point to see if I can get us to see something. Because, see, if you don't respect God, God doesn't have to respect you. If you don't honor God, God doesn't have to honor you. You know, he doesn't have to do anything if you don't respect him. You know, because that means that if you don't have the right, you know, and how could you respect him if you didn't believe in him and being what he is and doing? I mean, you know, how could you respect? But you could go anywhere in the world, it wouldn't matter what country or whatever, to the furthest Hottentot that wouldn't have no understanding, but yet that Hottentot would have a respect for his God. And he would even take, as the prophet said, you know, they get so sincere, the people do, and they're sincere about it, that they take their babies out and throw them to an alligator to appease that God, you know, because they have a part of us as a human nature. We ought to realize that if we are a creature, see, then there must be a creator somewhere to bring us into being. Well, if it is, then we should respect that. You know. But the main point of what I want you to look at now is, like I said, it's an admiration now for the worth of something, you know, or for the excellency or whatever that you're looking at. Right? See, that should be why we should have respect. See, and it's like I said, it's hard then not to get on to other things because, you know, the kids today say, you brought me into the world. It's your responsibility to take care of me. Well, somebody ought to stand up one of these days and say, well, we can just take you out of it. You know. I mean, if that's the problem, we could just take you out of it. But that shouldn't be nowhere involved in your minds, kids. Because you should, see, honor your father and mother, as we read, irregardless if for one thing, and one thing only, that they brought you into the world. Because without them, you would not be here. Well, I'd have got, no, don't be stupid now. Just be straight about it. You can't say, well, we would have got here some way. Now, we don't believe in polywogs and frogs and laying on one side and growing a couple of arms and turn over the other way. And no. But just think about what I'm trying to say. What does God mean to you? Now, the word God means an object of worship. All right? Now, so then if nothing else, if we didn't have no understanding, as I said, you could go anywhere in the world today and they would talk to you about their God. And people will kill for their God. All wars are caused by religious situations of some kind or another. It doesn't matter what it means or whether it's like Hitler wanted to make a super race. Well, see, that was a religious idea. So all wars and things are related around somebody's trying to Islamic to push over to try to make everybody Islamic or you know, Americans wants everybody to be Americans or Baptist wants everybody to be Baptist or Methodist or whatever, you know. But my point of what I want you to look at is to think about what does God mean to you? You know, well, it's just an object of worship. No. He's our creator. Without him, we would not exist. We should have that much of a respect, if nothing else, to say, God, you brought me here. You gave me life. You've healed me. Without even speaking of salvation, without even talking about him as being our Savior, our healer, like that, we should honor him and have a very high respect, because if you lose respect for God, look at every nation in the world that has went down because they lost respect. They quit respecting God. Now, the children of Israel, they put a lot of emphasis throughout the Old Testament, as we talk about. And even still today, they have that. But they had the certain times, the certain rituals, the certain feasts, the certain things, that everything was done to show honor and respect to God. Every move they made, all of their life was living to just to go to church. It was just to be able to go to the house of the Lord, as David said, It was a joy. It wasn't a drudgery that it come to those things. I remember there one time where they made booths and sat in them like 8 days, little wooden houses and things out of sticks, and sat on the side of the road, as we'd call it today, for about 8 days, sitting in that. Well, we think, that's the most horrible thing. It gets so boring. But see, it meant something to them. Why? Because God said to do it. It was types and shadows for us, but God said to do that. So then, what respect should we have? What admiration should we look back at him as to his worth, as to what he is? We should have such an honor until, the story is told of the reason Lazarus. Lazarus was a scribe, the story is told. And as being a scribe, he was copying the scrolls. And they say that every time that they come to a place to where the word God is, and they don't say it G-O-D, they put G-D is mostly the way that's even they talk about it, because they don't know his name. But they so honor that one word, till anywhere that it says God, that they would be copying that they stop and they're so respectful, they go take a bath before they would write that word. So much honor is given unto the name of God. But yet people take it in vain, and cuss words and all kind of things, because they don't have any respect. It used to be a more of an honorable world. America was honored for being a Christian nation. But what is it now? Just like all the rest of the nations, because they've lost respect for God. What's wrong with the American home in America? They've lost respect for God. The fear is not there. There's no honor to God. But I want to hold it to a point to get you to think about something before we get into the fact of a fear. I want you to think about that, what we should have, what you and I should have for God, is a respect to think about him. To be able to just consider the fact. To be able to just talk about him. Because if you went anywhere in the world today, those religious beliefs, they want to talk to you about their God. And they're not arguing over how many personalities he's got, or persons there is of him, or whatever they are. But see, religious people are the most disrespectful people in the world to their God. Can you think about that? How much do you and I respect him for his work? For his value, for what he is. As I said, without even thinking about salvation. That we should think about him as who he is and what he has done for man. We laugh and talk about the Stone Age where the guy made the wheel, you know, and gets on it and rides on it and the cartoons and the things. But you know, without God, there would have never been a wheel. Without God, there would have never been anything. But see, we just take it haphazardly of just, oh yeah, I respect God. Now maybe it'll change this afternoon when we start talking about respect for one another. Yeah. All right. But see, God, listen to what Brother Branham said. God demands respect. Now think about it. God demands respect. I would like for you, if you would, just get the whole message of respect, because there's one message I preached in 61:10-15 in the evening. But listen to what the prophet said. God demands respect. You've got to have it. You ever get anything from God, you're going to respect God. And you must do it. Now watch. See, respect. Well, oh, I respect him. I'll just do this. No, what did he say? And you must do it from your heart, the bottom of your heart, you must do it. From the bottom of your heart, from your whole being, is the respect that God desires for you and I, you know, from us. Not something that we have to do. If you serve God because, as the prophet said, you serve him, the fact that you're saying, well, I don't want to go to hell. You know, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to do that. That's not respect. You're not giving him any value. You're just making him a destroyer or some kind of a thing. And your fear is in the wrong direction. Now look down what he says on the next one. Same message. That was paragraph 104. This is paragraph 108. No matter what, see, you must look at what? You must respect God regardless of what he does. He knows what he's doing. He talks about it looking bad, the suffering, the dying, the this, that, the other. But just remember, what he does is always right. One day he'll destroy the sinner, right? And that'll be correct for him. It won't be a madness or a hatred. It'll be because of what we've done. But God demands respect. Now, how does he demand respect? I get kind of tickled, and that's what I said, it's so interlaced until it's hard to preach one thing but without preaching another one, you know. I get so tickled at especially the men that come into this message, and they come and tell me my wife don't have no respect for me. You know, my wife don't do what I want her to do. I get plumb tickled at it, because that's why I've always said, you know, we talk about what Sarah called Abraham Lord. Well, if we acted like Abraham, Sarah might be able to call us Lord, you know. And all like that, it might change things around. But see, God requires us to respect him. But get what I'm saying now. You take the word respect, and you take what the prophet just said. You're not going to get anything from God unless you respect God. All right? Now, see, we take that as like a demanding. Well, Brother Brown said, God demands that we respect him, you know. But what kind of a respect is that? You're not taking the definition of the word that I gave you. That it's an admiration for or a sense of the worth of something. The excellency of something. You're just taking it like, well, you got to respect me. You got to respect me. You're taking it on a demanding form. God doesn't demand you to respect Him in our human terminology of our thinking. He won't make you do anything. He might have to destroy you because you don't do it. But He won't make you. See, because He doesn't want it that way. I never wanted my children, I don't want my grandchildren to be afraid of me. And I don't want them to respect me. You know, our word respect, see, is like, you know, well, I respect my father. I don't agree with him. And I'm going to do it quick as I get out of here. I'll get out of here. But while I'm here, you ain't dealing with nothing but fear. You're dealing with nothing but a fear tactic. You're just afraid. We had a guy I used to work with, and a guy named Stanley Hill, great big old thing. Some of you might remember him, but he got drunk or peeled up one time, and the cops was trying to get him out of the car. Well, he had his arm locked through the steering wheel of the car, and they beat his head to pieces with a flapjacks, as you call them, you know, billy clubs, to try to get him out of that car. And he wouldn't get out. They done everything. Big guys, everything. Tried their best to get him out of there. Well, they finally got it. It was either his daddy or his granddaddy. And I think it was his granddaddy. That they finally got him to come over there. And the granddaddy walked up there and said, "Stanley, get out of the car." He just unfolds and crawls out of the car and goes to jail. Why? You say respect. You know, you say he's respecting his grandpa. Was he respecting his grandpa, or was he scareder of his grandpa than he was anything else? Right. But you see, we can be that away with God. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to look at His worth or value for what He is to you and I, and not look at Him as like that He will kill us if we don't. Because it's not the right thing. Look what the prophet goes on down the same message. It's paragraph 53 of the message, respect. And because God is God, He deserves a respect. That's right. And we've got to respect Him and give a fear to Him that brings respect. A fear for Him that brings respect. Now, what kind of a fear is that? That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Do you fear God because you're afraid of Him? That's the same way you do with your parents. We'll get to it in a few minutes. The only way you can respect your parents or God or anybody is to love that person above your own self. Then you're coming to true respect when you come down to a love. But do you love your parents or do you fear your parents? I've always told you about my mother. She said, "Sam, you get in jail, I'll come and look at you through the bars." Well, I believed that. But I knew she'd hawk to home to get me out, but, you know, because I knew she loved me. But yet she'd still say that, you know, because she was tough and stern, you know, that way. And I respected her that way, but not respect because I was afraid of her. No, I never had fear. I never had fear in my life of my mother. Now, see, my daddy died when I was about 4 and a half or something like that, so I really didn't know him that well. But I never had a fear of my mother as being a mean person or something like that. Because I seen her as she worked. I seen her as she dug in the fields as we did. I seen her as she made a living for us. And I had a very high respect because of what she done for me. My oldest brother, you know, because my daddy dying young, see, my oldest brother, I always had a high respect because I loved him. But it was because that when he could have got married and had a family and went away from us and been gone and wouldn't have had, you know, he had so many dependents that wouldn't even take him in service. You know, because all of us were there. Eight of us, you know, he got married, but he still didn't go away from the family. He still farmed. He done everything. Well, see, always. He could have never done nothing to me to make me not love him. I mean, he could have whipped me. He could have done anything. And it wasn't that I was afraid of him. It was the love that I had. And when you're changing it like that, you can think about what the prophet is saying. It says, give him a fear. He said, that brings respect. Are you afraid of God? Well, if I don't serve him now, see, that's what's the problem. That's what's taught in the message by the message people. They teach a fear tactics to their children and things to try to get them to serve the Lord. And they teach them, if you don't do this, you don't do that, you're going to hell. Well, you can tell the truth, but you can tell the truth in love. Don't make God to be something. I don't like people. I see them, and I'm constantly saying it here, hoping you'll catch it, you know, without me having to come to you and look you in the face. Hey, I'm talking about you, you know. But see, people will say, you know, they'll tell their kids, God's mean. God's mad at you. God don't like what you're doing now. He's mad at you. Don't ever, children. Parents, don't ever tell your children that God hates them. Tell them that God loves them, that God wants you not to do what you're doing, but not because of an arrogant, hateful thing, you know. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, how could fear of God be the beginning of wisdom? Anybody got a definition? That looks like you're saying to be afraid of God, to be afraid of what He might do, might bring you wisdom. Now, that's not a definition to me. But to fear God in the correct way is the way to bring wisdom to you. Because you want a godly fear, the Bible says. A godly fear. What's a godly fear?
I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of him. No. No.
I've met a lot of people in this world that a lot of people was afraid of. And I never had one dab of fear. Had a man down there at work that so fast until I told you about it, the man trying to even to get a straight razor out of his pocket. They were actually dueling each other, and a black man went for a straight razor in his pocket, and before he did, the man went in his pocket, opened his pocket knife, and slit the back of his hand. He killed a man right up here. Sent him down to Augusta, the guy that called it, claimed he's crazy. So fast. But I never had one fear. He was my friend. I just didn't have any fear of him. You know. I mean, it wouldn't that I'd sit there and say, well, I'm afraid to say something to him. No. Because, see, I'd have told him just like anybody else. But see, church, there's a difference in being afraid of a person because of what they can do to you than to have a fear of a person because of the respect and reverence you have for the person. Do you understand? If you have really true godly respect, it means that you have love for the person. It doesn't mean that you have a fear of them. You have a high respect for that person. You know. And see, that's the way we should be with God. We shouldn't have any fear that, you know, being afraid of Him. How would it be the beginning of wisdom? It's being afraid that you won't serve Him correctly. I'm not afraid of God as a destroyer. I'm not afraid of God as to, well, I'd better straighten up because God's going to get me. Sure, He'll get your attention. He'll do it. But just watch the way He does it. He always does it in love. Because remember, as I've always tried to illustrate to you, He chastens with nail-scarred hands. Well, you know, it'd be kind of hard to hit somebody, to spank even a child, if you had big old nail prints in your hands. See, God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him. He wants us to respect Him for what worth He is, you know. Maybe that's a carnal way, but it's, I don't mean monetary. I mean, He's my Father. He's my Creator. He's my Sustainer. He's my all in all. But not only that, He's my Savior. Not only is He my Savior, He's my Healer. He's everything I have need of. He's my Father. And the respect I have for Him would be the same way I would have had for my, you know, in a minute particle of my own daddy. Because, I, like I said, I didn't have it, so I had it for my mother. I had a high respect for her. Because she raised me. But see, God doesn't want us to be scared. Because every time He always comes into the presence of a human being, what's the first words in the Bible terminology? What's the first word God always said when He come into the presence of people? Fear not. Right? Fear not. I've walked when I knew that He was walking just beside of me. And I'd turn around and look for Him. He was more real than you are. He was more real than anything else that was around me. But I never one time got scared. Told you about the time that I saw the angel of the Lord and grabbed a pistol and took off after Him. I was scared that time. But after then, I never was. Saw it twice more, and I never was. It never bothered, because, see, that was just so much when I looked and saw Him standing there. I mean, just like a human being looking in the window, I mean, in the doorway at me, till I grabbed a pistol and took off after Him. There was nobody in the house. But two times after then, when I'd see Him, it changed my whole being. The word that I didn't have a fear. I'd had a great respect and a thought in my mind that it wouldn't matter if I die and go to hell, to know that I've been in the presence of Almighty God. I've seen Him as people haven't seen Him. I've seen Him in His Word. I've seen Him through that. I've seen Him with the things that's happened, even to the eyesights, to be able to know and see. But it hasn't made me as scared of him. When we get to heaven, we're not going to stand there, oh, there's God, there's God. I've got. What's wrong with us? It's just like the children of Israel. They were the ones that wanted God to speak to them on the mountain, right? I mean, to start with, then they said, no, we don't want that. We want man to speak to us. They chose for man to speak, but God would have been speaking to each one of them. Well, what was wrong? Check your Bible. 10 times they'd done sin before they got there, I believe it was. Well, no wonder they was afraid of him. They was afraid of his reverence and, you know, and being, they thought he'd kill them. So he said, we don't want that. Keep God up on the mountain. Moses, you go up and find out what it is, bring it back. But they still didn't do what? Their own words. But see, when you lose respect for God, what's it going to be? But see, we go over on the other side of it, though, and we run into categories like this, and we say, well, God is so loving. God loves me. It don't matter what I do. That's what Tammy Faye said. Said she asked God, was it all right to paint her face? And said he never said nothing. He didn't have to. The Bible had already said it. Let's see. People will tell you, well, it don't matter what I do. God loves me. Now, God's not a dotty old granddaddy. That's what I'm saying. If we have the correct respect for God, we will have a fear for God. But it'll be godly fear. The thing that I'm afraid of today is not doing His will for what He wants me to do. We'll get to it, I think, this evening, where Brother Brown said, I'm afraid of my wife. He said, I'm afraid of this church. But then he explains what he's talking about. He said, because that maybe did I do something wrong against him. Or maybe did I live in the wrong way. See, godly fear should not never consider a test of being afraid. God is not a big bad guy. Don't tell your children that. I don't even like for you to tell them the devil's a big bad guy. Because he ain't too bad of a guy. You say, wait a minute. No, because what I mean by it is, you let that kid grow up a while, and you'll find out you scared him with some devil that he don't believe in when he really gets old enough to understand. So he's not that bad kind of a guy. You see, church, the thing of it is, we don't understand. We go out and do wrong, and then we're afraid of God. Well, we should be. But we should live for Him as a reverence of respect. Brother Brown said, I believe if I went overseas and done something wrong, come back and told my wife, he said, I believe she'd forgive me. But what did he go on to say? But see, knowing it that away, he said, how could I go do something wrong? To know that I believe my wife would forgive me for doing anything. But then, how much love would she have to forgive me and pile that on the top of the thing of me doing? How could I go do it? But just don't be afraid of God. That's not respect. I had a laugh and talking to Sister Barbara there one time about it, and she talking about how the Islamic women respect their husband. I said, listen, Sister Barbara, women are women. Now, I know they have a honor and a this and that and the other and the doings, you know, and all. I understand that. But women are women. They're conniving. They're only using the old boy, whether it be Islamic or Glulites or whatever you want to call them. Women are conniving. You say, well, brother, you shouldn't talk to them. Well, you are, aren't you? Is there a woman in here to say that she wasn't conniving? Well, I don't see any hands up. Because that's not bad in a way. That's just part of human life. Or if men are conniving too. I tell my wife, I said, you need to go to town, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, I guess we do. Need to go buy some groceries. Well, let's go by Walmart. You can buy groceries in Walmart. What am I doing? I want to go to Walmart. I don't want to go to J&J. I ain't interested in food. We entered the door. I said, I'll see you in a while. I'm going to the Sporting Good. She said, yeah, I know you had something in mind you needed. But see, that's human. Human things. But see, we say, well, we respect. What is the respect part? Do you respect your husband because if not, he would whip you? Come on. And man, the way it's getting today, it's turning it around, you know. The women whipping the men, you know. But listen, I'm just trying to get you to see about God and the way He wants us to think about Him. The respect He wants us to have is to not be afraid of Him, but to love Him and have so much respect for Him in that love form until whatever He would do to us, that we'd say He was right. Because how else are you going to understand how that He would let you go through trials and troubles and heartaches and problems and things go wrong and stuff like that? I read to you there the other day where the prophet said if God done everything we asked Him, said we'd become just plain spoiled brats and wouldn't be worth nothing. But instead of that, we ask Him for something. He says, nothing whatsoever. Just nothing. Now you ask Him for something sometimes and it just immediately comes, right? But you ask Him for something and it lingers. Lingers sometimes a long time before He ever answers our prayers. But see, He's child training us. But do you serve God? I'm just trying to get that point. Do you serve God because of fear? Are you afraid of Him? We should get that out of our mind. We should serve Him because we love Him. We should respect Him because we love Him. Honor Him for what He is. That's what I see the people have lost. They have lost the love for God, but they have fear. They have a fear, you know, type of a thing that makes a certain amount of what we call respect. But that's not the respect that I'm trying to get you to see. I'm trying to get me and you to see that God deserves the respect. As the prophet said in the Hebrew book, he said, I hate to think that I was born 5 minutes ago. He said, in dying, and you know, in other words, you could go to hell just like that. We know babies go to heaven, but he's talking. I'd hate to think that I was born 5 minutes ago and had to have some merits to get me there. There's no merits whatsoever. Unless you serve God with a godly fear and reverence and respect, then what you're doing is in vain. It's in vain. Because what we need, see, is that respect for Him, and then that respect would bring a fear upon us, a godly fear, to where that we think that He's my Savior. He's my Father. He's my all in all. He's my Creator. Like I said there a moment ago, in places they take their babies and throw them to alligators. Yeah. To appease some kind of an angry God. There's human sacrifices. Read about it. Keep up in the newspaper. But they know there's human sacrifices being made around this world today. There's groups of people here in America and things like that. You read your paper that make human sacrifices. They take babies, they take and make human sacrifices to try to appease some kind of a God. You say, oh no, we're Americans. Don't be silly. That was what I was trying to illustrate a while ago about. You can say, the Islamic women respect their husband. Is it because they love them, or is it because they're afraid? Because see, in some of those countries, they'd be put to death if they didn't. So then is it a love or a fear? You let them stay here in America a little while, let's see about it, all right? You go around and check about it here already and you see if they're not becoming Americanized. Sure, if you was in a country where that they'd put you to death because you opened your face, unveiled it or something like that, they'd beat you to death out there. Sure, you'd line up. See, church, God wants us to love Him, not be afraid of Him. Not be afraid, but to love Him. Who was it? Jonathan and David had such a love that it was even beyond women, it was said. People have, that because they love somebody, they'll actually step right into the firing line, you know, or take something to be killed themselves because of the love that they have. Give their own lives because of love. Love is the greatest force there is in the world. But see, don't ever... If I don't get nothing to you. Don't ever be afraid of God in the basis of what we call fear of ourselves now. Have a godly respect and a godly fear. The word that you love Him. And no matter what He says to you then, you say, okay, Daddy, that's right. Because you know, because you want them to respect, not to have fear. I never wanted my kids, I don't want the grandkids, to be afraid of me. But I don't believe I was a doty old granddaddy. Pretty soft, but not doty. Maybe a soft daddy, but still. When I said something, they believed it. You know. Because it was done for their own good. That's why the prophet said, don't whip them children until you think their age. If you're in Gainesville the other day, a man jerked up a 3-month-old baby or something, jerked and broke bones in it and crushed it and everything. If you ask him, I loved it and I was trying to chasten it. No. That's why the prophet said, don't never strike those children when you're mad. because you can do it. My brother-in-law hit his son up like that hard enough, knocked his intestines, fell out. You know, some things came out of him. Well, I was doing it because I loved him. No. The more I live, the more I find that very few people know what love is. Especially the love of God. That when we ask God, as I said, for something, he doesn't give it to us. Lord, I say, well, now, Lord, for some reason you're not giving me that, and maybe what you'd give me would kill me. Because you know that's what the children of Israel done. God will give you the desire of your heart sometime. But the children of Israel desired meat one time, and while they had the meat in their teeth, the plague struck them. Thousands of them died because of what they wanted. But are we afraid of God, or do we respect God? Because remember my definition, I keep getting back to it because that's what the basis of all we're going to be talking about for a while. Is respect means that you look at the worth of that. You look at what that is. That God is our creator. God is all things for you and I. And he raises us as his children. Because that's who we are. But as I said now, I keep making these statements because I want to dwell in your mind, dwell in their heart. Are you afraid of your mom and daddy? Because of what they would do to you as beating you or something like that. But maybe sometimes they do good to do that. Because there is a truth that if you won't line up, you do need a whipping. Well, the Bible says that. The Bible says beat a child, it won't die. Now, they ain't talking about this child abuse now. That's Bible terminologies. Just remember, if you don't get nothing out of this part of it, this will be in the services. As you raise those children, you are instilling into them what you want. And if you don't get what you're trying, maybe you should change your way of doing. You know, I've repented to these kids here because of the fact of what the people of this message call the message and tried to make it to where they've tried to make this message a book of rules. They've tried to make you serve God. They've tried to threaten the people into. And it's just like no more than what it is in any cult. To where you get in a cult place, and if you do something wrong, they just take you out and whoop you. You say, that ain't happened this message. I'll call names if you'd like. One man stood right here one time and said he saw his daddy whipped by two or three guys in the yard, and I looked at him. I thought, oh, God. Because his daddy had differed with the pastor. And I thought, oh God, what kind of a cult has this thing turned out to be? I don't serve God because that I'm afraid of him. Because I know if he sent me to hell, he'd be just. He'd be right. Because he can't do anything wrong. See, we're not dealing with somebody that can change or this way or the other way. We're dealing with God that there's no way for him to change. His first statement is right. It's finished. That's it. Amen. But you remember Balaam got, don't go. But then Balaam kept on until finally God said, go. You can get a permissive will and live in that will and say, oh, God told me to do this. See, old Balaam would go down there and say, God told me to come down here. But his perfect will was not to go. I don't want God's permissive will for my life or anything. I want his perfect will. I want to know what he wants for me. See, I don't want to just have something there that, well, I respect God. Yes, I have a high respect for God. But I'm going to live like I want to. Now, there's something wrong with your respect. Come on. You respect your parents' children. We'll get to it. God will respect you. Now, that didn't say that you had to agree with everything mom and daddy done. But you ought to remember one thing. Mom and daddy's trying to raise you. I want to do my thing. Go ahead. Go ahead. Kind of odd, though, that if you went to Africa, you couldn't find that attitude, could you? Come on. You went to some of these foreign countries that we call Hottentots, ignorant, ignoramuses, and you wouldn't find that attitude whatsoever. You know that Brother Prakash says that if his children gets up before him and come through the bedroom, they reach down and kiss his feet. Boaz right here washed my feet. Got through washing my feet, he reached down and kissed my feet. He wasn't afraid of me. He wasn't afraid of me. That's a respect. Consider it. Brother Reed calls me father. Not because he's scared of me. But because he respects me. You, your children, and all of you call us Poppy and Nanny. Why? We haven't demanded that you do that. As a matter of fact, it's got in trouble sometimes for some of these kids that, you know, to call us Poppy and Nanny. Cause some family problems maybe a time or two. But you still can't stop them kids. They're going to do it because they know what it is. That's why the children, that's the young people here know me. And know that I've done everything I could to try to help you. This Alabama youth camp thing is costing us probably, especially if we don't get the money back, which we will. But we put up a lot of money that most of you don't even know about to start with, to where it would be had. It's going to be, time we get through, no telling into the $6,000 or $8,000 it's costing us. But it's because I want you, children, to have an opportunity that we didn't have. That we had rules and books and things that we went by. But yet you don't have that. You have the law of love. That's one thing about your children. Know that, don't you? You know Brother Dale loves you. It doesn't make no difference what. But I have to tell you the truth. But you know that I love you, and you know I'd do anything in the world to try to help you. See, I don't want you afraid of me. There's people in this message, you see them, their pastor comes in, boy, they come and open the door, and they sit down, and they fix everything, and I get so sick, don't ever try it, I'll kick you. Don't need being silly. That's not respect. You know why it's not respect? And really, you know it's not? Because 2 weeks later, they're at some other church doing somebody else. Right? Well, church, don't never fear God. You say, yeah, but the Bible says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. How could being afraid of God be wisdom? I fear that I don't do what He wants me to do. I fear that I don't preach what He wants me to preach. I fear that I don't go and to do what He wants me to do. Because I respect Him. All I've got is what He's given me. I think about that statement that was made to David, you know. Took you from the taking care of the sheep. Took a man that was out there just singing to sheep and made him a king. God's what done that. Any person that has ever amounted to anything in the Bible or in life out here is a person who finds true respect for God. True respect. To see that you love Him. And say, Father, I love You. And I'm glad You didn't give me what I asked for, because I might have done wrong. A lot of kids in the world today get a brand new car when they get 16 or something and then get killed, right? But you see, sometimes you got to raise them a little different. First car that Anna owned was a Toyota Corolla, four-door. Bought it from Brother Gary back there for $400, I believe it was. Toyota Corolla. Beat up, banged up, but it run good. It's in good mechanical shape. She said one day, she said, Daddy, don't you think we could afford maybe something a little better? I said, honey, how many of them kids over at school's got a car? She said, well, not too many. I said, how many of them rides a bus? Well, most of them do. I said, drive the clunker. We'll get you something better. Why? Daddy knows what? That's what I told Zach yesterday. Daddy's got a Toyota truck. Ask the kids what they drove. Volkswagen. You know why? Didn't cost very much to replace it. We have a saying, you can't replace kids, but you can replace cars. You know. Uh-huh. Take your kids. Don't buy them a brand new car. Buy them an old car. Let them drive it for a while. If they're going to wreck it, you ain't lost a lot. Just be smart. Don't be stupid and go out and buy them brand new and then them tire them up. Oh, I got a $10,000 bill off that. Nah. Give them something that won't hardly run. Let them drive it around a while. But it wasn't long after then she wound up with a little, what was it, Thunderbird. You know? But you see, our kids drove a Volkswagen. There was an old truck. Anyhow, Wade and Terrence both had to drive this old truck. Yeah. Yeah, they don't make them anymore. It was an old Datsun truck. And that's what they drove to school. But it made it school and back. I made sure it was in mechanical shape. But I wanted them to learn a lesson for one thing. Of course, I couldn't afford to buy them a new one. But I wanted them to learn a lesson. Because the lesson I wanted them to learn is the lesson I'm trying to get me and you to learn. When you ask God for something, He doesn't give it to you immediately. Don't get impatient and get upset. Because I've always tried to tell you, and my kids will tell you right now, and the grandkids will tell you. They come to my house and they say, Papa, can I? I'd say, well, if there's any way in the world I can, I will. They just go make plans. Sometimes I have to change. Yeah. But if I can, I'll do what I said I'd do. Why? Because I want to be a good daddy to them. But I want them to love me for what I am, not for what I can make them. But for what I am. And that's the way God wants us. He doesn't want to come with us. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be scared of Him. Godly fear is not to be scared. There's a lot of difference in the word of what you're talking about. Scared is when you have something that you see something dire that's greater than you or whatever can hurt you. That brings you a scared tactic. God, never be scared of God. Be afraid you won't do what He wants you to do. think on these things. I was going to get on to a few other things, but, you know, if we got to take a little while, we'll just talk on respect. Because I know the Lord was dealing with me here a while back about it, and I kind of laid it down for a while. So maybe we'll come back to it. But to respect to God, to love God no matter what He does, that you love Him and say, Father, you're right. And Father, I love you. A lot of difference in that being scared, isn't there? But just remember what I said every time He would come into the presence of a human mortal, because He knows us as human mortals. Us as human mortals don't understand we don't understand supernatural things. You know, we don't, right? But when He comes, He always says, fear not. Fear not. I've come to make my love known to you. See, He got from fed up back there in the Old Testament. And He said, sacrifice and offerings, they've become a stink in my nostril. He said, what I'm looking for is an honest and a contrite heart. That was His value. That was why I've always tried to describe to you how that David could have his greatest warrior, right-hand man, killed and all of that. And God turned around and called him, David said, he's an apple of my own eye. See, David had a fear of God that was in the correct order. He wasn't afraid of God, but he had a fear. He said, well, how do you know? Because it proved out. It proved out to not be fear in David's life. It turned out to be an apple of God's eye. What about me and you? Let's stand. 136 in the red book. Together unto Him, we are gathered. The one that we love. And the one that loves us. The one that's given us all things. Oh, we'd like better of this and better of that. But maybe it's not God's will. He might be wanting to teach us a lesson about something. But never forget that He loves you. And don't, parents, don't scare your children with God. Try to make Him some kind of a boogerman to them. Tell them about the love of God. And let us live, careful. Praises. Anybody have a need? Let us live their voice in praises unto Him. Do you believe it? Unto Him shall the praise. Just believe it. We're going to lay hands on you and we're going to give you a prayer card. All right? So that's both. Okay. So you getting that on you. Our sister's been having some problems, so let's just believe everything will be all right. Let's go before our Father and let's believe, all right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we lift our hands to you, Father, knowing that there's nothing that we could do. We'd give our sister anything in the world we had in the natural, but that's not what she's asking for. She's asking for you to help her with this time of these little babies, Lord, that she's carrying. So you give her strength in her body and give her good health and everything be all right. And most of all, let the babies be all right, Lord. We thank you and we believe you. We ask it in Jesus' name. believes him. Anybody else? Us live. Praise his honey. And do you believe? Our little buddy wants a prayer cloth for his brother. Father, we commit it all into your hands, and we send this prayer cloth to be there with him, Father. And be with his daddy, Lord, and be with him, Father. And just touch and guide him. Anybody else? Let our gathering together unto him. And when we gather, what do? Then let us lift our voice in praises unto him. Let us lift. Why? Because we love him. We love him no matter what he would choose for us to go through or what would happen to us. What about the dark ages where they cut the babies out of the mother's stomachs and throw them to the hogs and killed them and all? Yet that was the seed that had to go into the ground where you and I could be here today to come out. So then how much more should we rejoice? Light afflictions, the Bible calls it. Just for a time, it says. You know that Brother Randall said God had to let you get sick to where he could fulfill his healing and to show you his love for you? Had to let you do it. Oh, we think, oh, he ordered this child or us. He ordered this. All things work together for good. What? To be called according to his purpose. Remember the service this evening. Pray one for another. Remember Terrence and Lisa. They kind of gone on a little time of their honeymoon, I guess you'd call it, belated over years. But, you know, just remember them as their way, and they'll be back with us. Pray one for another. You're dismissed. Father, just bless the people and take care in Jesus' name. Glorious Lord.